Dear friends, today we return to the new brochure called 5 plus 5. So last week, I talked about an important 5. I talked about what I call the big 5. So we can take one hand and we can talk about Jesus. And it's a way for us to remember. It's a way for us to share Jesus with someone else, to talk about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. So I talk about in the brochure here how each one is super essential. We need all 5 of them in order to have salvation. They're so important for us. So by knowing them better, that's going to be a great blessing to us. And by knowing them well, then we can share them with others. Today I go on to the second 5. So 5 plus 5, the second 5 here, I want to share with you 5 passages on the topic of assurance. So let's understand that we are so blessed among all the people in the world. We are so blessed to be Bible-believing Christians. Even though that is true, what is going on? Let's understand that the devil is working to destroy our confidence in God's word. Think about what the devil did to Adam and Eve. He got them to doubt what God had said, and then they fell into sin. The devil is doing the same thing to us today. How do we fight the devil? Think about when Jesus was tempted, for example, as recorded there in Matthew chapter 4. Every time he was tempted, he used the word of God to defend himself. So what about us? Well, let us fight the devil with what the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Jesus showed us how to use the word, and we should do the same. Now, Jesus was able to use it because he knew it. So I want to share with you some important parts of the Word of God so we can know them better, and then we can use them, and that will be a great blessing to us. The Holy Spirit will use these passages, I believe, in powerful ways in our lives. I want to share with you 5 passages that I memorized. I believe it's been 38 years ago. So I've gotten to know them so well over the years, and I've used them over and over again. Probably as I go to many of them, probably 4 of the 5, you're going to be like, oh, Pastor, I've heard that so many times. So they're going to be familiar ones, but I want to remind you about them again. Point out an item or two in each one that is super important, and encourage you to know them better for yourself. I'm hoping you'll memorize them, but if you do, great. Well, if you don't, I think you're going to be missing out some, but I'm hoping you'll put them to memory. I know it's not an easy thing, so that's why in the brochure here, I talk about my scripture memory tips. So generally, when I memorize a passage, I'm just going over and over and over it. I might have to take 45 minutes sitting down and not focused on anything else and just go over and over and over and over and over it. Maybe 50 times going over that verse, and there's a certain way to go about it. So inside here, I have all 9 of the scripture memory tips laid out. So by following the 9 tips, you will know the verse well, you will benefit from it, and you will be equipped to share it. I don't think I put it in the tips here, but the way I deal with a verse is I'm going through the process of learning it, but then I tell myself I have to be able to say it, what I call word perfect, 5 times in a row before I can finally say, oh, I think I kind of got this. But I have to keep going and going and going until I get to that point. Now, some are easier than others, but sometimes I've had a situation where I've gone over and over it, and it's always just kind of a struggle. But so many times, though, I wake up the next morning, and with the blessing of God, it's like I have it. Like God gave it to me, and now I know it word perfect. Let's get to the 5 verses themselves here. The first one, I'm sure you're familiar with it already, assurance of salvation. So we're not in the Gospel of John, but we're in 1 John chapter 5. So it says, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So with that verse, think about how God has gifted us with eternal life. And it says that the witness is this. So think about a courtroom situation. Think about God on the witness stand, and God is testifying that this is true, that he has gifted us with eternal life, and this eternal life is in his Son. There are plenty of people in the world that are believing something else, and there are plenty of churches that are teaching something else. Such a sad thing. When God himself is testifying that eternal life is in his Son, oh my goodness, we need to pay attention to that. Then it goes on to say so simply in verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So we want to take that to the extreme. Okay, he who has the Son has the life. So this guy over here, boy, he's a poor, miserable sinner. He's struggling and struggling and struggling in his life all the time. However, though, he has the Son. What does that mean? He has the life. What about this guy over here? He's like your model Christian. He's in church every week. He's serving at the church. He's giving all this money. It all looks great on the outside. What's the problem? He doesn't actually have Christ. So even though it looks great, without Christ, he does not have eternal life. It all comes down to whether we have Christ or not. And then notice in the last verse, this is the great assurance here. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. It's a great thing to have eternal life. It's even much more wonderful when we know we have eternal life. That way we can live without fear. That way we live with peace. That way we live with confidence, knowing that when the time comes, God is going to welcome us in. So many people are living with fear. Let's let that not be us, but rather knowing the verse well. When we know it well, every time the fear creeps in, what does the Holy Spirit do? He'll bring that verse to our mind, and he will use it to be a great blessing to us. Going on to the next one, assurance of answered prayer. So here we are in John chapter 16. So it's early on Good Friday. Jesus is in the upper room, and he's sharing something here with his disciples. He says to them, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. So for the disciples, here they are, Old Testament Christians, and they've been praying to the Lord. But Jesus is saying, now we're coming to a shift in how you have been proceeding. And now, yes, you can pray to the Lord, but think about it like this. Think about going to God the Father, going to my Father who is in heaven. I'm his Son. I'm the one who has opened the way from you to him. So when you pray, pray to God the Father and do so in my name. In other words, do so in conjunction with knowing me as your Savior. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying in connection with the fact that we know Jesus, we are clothed in his righteousness, we are forgiven through him we are members of God's kingdom. And then coming to the third passage here, assurance of victory. So what kind of victory? We're talking about victory over temptation. Now this is a verse I've come to a couple times in the last few months, I think, but let's touch on it again real quick. You have to keep in mind what's before this. So Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, and he's reminding them what happened at the time of Moses 1,500 years earlier from the time of the Corinthians, and that is when the people of Israel, God put every blessing upon them, and yet they did not trust in the Lord. Now they're living in the wilderness. God is providing all that they need every day, and yet they kept going against the Lord, and they fell into sin over and over and over again. And Paul says, these are given as examples to us so that we don't do the same. And then you come to verse 12 and it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Yeah, if you think you're a tough guy and you can do it, you're going to be like Peter who said, Lord, I'm willing to go to death with you. And then not that much longer after that, Peter is denying three times that he even knows Jesus. Don't be in that category. Don't think that we can do it. We have to trust in the Lord. Only he can enable us to do it. And then we come to the verse here. So Paul wrote, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God wants us to understand that we're not getting any extraordinary temptations. They're all temptations that are common. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Boy, when it says that God is faithful. Now for us, don't we try to be faithful? Boy, we try to be faithful. We want to read our Bible every day. We want to talk to God every day in prayer. We want to come to church every week. We want to take advantage of every opportunity to help others know Jesus. Do we do that all the time? We don't. So we try to be faithful, but we fall short. When it says here that God is faithful, that is absolutely 100% of the time. God is faithful. God is never taking a nap. God is never out of the loop on what's going on. God is faithful. What is he faithful to do? He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. So for every one of us, he knows the level of temptation that we can endure. Some people are maybe at a lower level, some at a higher level, but God knows every person. Say, for example, for myself, just to throw out a number, say my level of temptation is at a 6.0. Because that's my maximum level, God is never going to allow temptation to come to me that is any higher than that. Now, it might actually hit a 6.0 sometimes, but it's never going to be a 6.1. God knows that's more than I can endure, and God is saying, I'm faithful. I will never, ever let that happen. And then God is also saying, every time the temptation comes, whether it's a 6.0 or anything less than that, every time it comes, he's always going to provide a way to escape the temptation. God wants us to be aware of such things. When the temptation is there, God wants us to realize that we can resist it, and he wants us to look for and take the way of escape, so important. Now, by living that way, is that saving us? No, but it's for our good, and it's for God's glory. It's going to be best when we take the way of escape. God wants us to know that. And then we come to assurance of forgiveness. So often, over the years that I've been a pastor, people are falling into sin. I fall into sin too. And we need to know, we want to know that we are forgiven. We want to be sure that we are forgiven. We talk about it, we hear it, but we want to be sure about it. Well, this is the key passage. Now, this is part of our liturgy, so you probably already have it memorized. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This would be one of those passages where I probably have said this before. Here I am. I fell into sin. I'm feeling guilty about it. And then I have the Word of God here. So my feelings are canceling out what the Word of God says. We need to get the Word of God up here and let the Word of God cancel out the wrong feelings that I have. In other words, if I'm in a situation where by the grace of God, I am repentant, so I have godly sorrow, and I'm trusting alone in Jesus, that means I am forgiven. So when I'm in that situation, God is going to assure me through his word that I am cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, does that mean I feel that way? No, I don't feel that way. However, though, I want to let the word of God dominate So I want to let the Word of God overcome those feelings. And even if I keep feeling like I'm not forgiven, in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, dear Lord, I know your word is true. I know that I am forgiven in Christ, and help me to embrace that. Help me to feel that. Help me to live with peace. Help me to live with joy. So it's a constant struggle, but we need to keep the Word of God up here. And when we know it by memory, hey, boy, over and over, the Holy Spirit will bring that to our minds, and He will use that in a powerful way in our lives. The last one here, assurance of guidance. I think some of you have this as a confirmation verse, but it's a great verse, so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. This is something that's easy to understand, but it is so hard to do. This idea, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that means we are into the Bible. The Holy Spirit shows us what the Bible means. We understand that God is saying, go in that direction. But what's going on within us? We have an old nature, and our old nature has this idea, and our old nature is certain that it's going to be best to go in that direction. Now what do? Common sense, our old nature says go that way. The Bible so clearly is saying go that way. What are we going to do? Well, what is the passage saying? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So if we are trusting in the Lord, what we're saying is, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me, and I can't understand it, and I don't even like it. However, though, I know it is from you. Therefore, I know it is best. And even if none of my family and friends think this is a good idea, because you have said it, I'm going to go this way. Boy, that's a hard thing to do, but that is the best thing to do. That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart, because when we lean on our own understanding, we're going that way. When we trust in the Lord with all our heart, then we're going His way. That's going to be unto His glory, and that's going to be for our benefit. More could be said there, but let me go on to the conclusion here. So it's important that we review, that we live, that we share. So regarding reviewing, once a verse is memorized, it's important to review it often. I talked about that a little bit already, but I would encourage you to think about reviewing at least every couple weeks. I have known people that have memorized a fair amount of Bible passages, but that person or those people didn't have a system of reviewing, so they put the time in to learn them, but because they didn't review them, eventually they kind of forgot them. So we don't want to like waste our time. So if we're going to put in the effort to memorize them, it's only a little bit of effort then to review them. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then let's understand that as we learn a verse, it's important to immediately and consistently make application in our lives. As we are memorizing a verse, it's becoming a part of who we are. So it's important then that we make application. That's going to be a great blessing to us. In other words, we want to do the memory work for a reason, that it does become part of who we are. And now it's part of our thought process, it's part of how we are proceeding then in our lives. And then the final one here, when you are blessed by a passage, I encourage you to share the joy by sharing it with others. It's one thing to hear something in the Bible. It's another thing to read it over and think about it. It's another thing to pray it back to God. And yet it's still another greater thing to put it to memory, to write it on your heart. So God will use His word in a powerful way. As we take the time with it, God will grant us great blessings. Give it a try and find out what they are. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, We thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for helping us to identify key passages that are so important. Dear Father, I thank you for helping me with these passages over the years, and I pray that you would work by your Holy Spirit into the hearts and lives of all who are gathered here, that they would be excited too, and they would pick even at least one and give it a try, going over and over it, putting it to memory, and may your Holy Spirit just show them the depth of what it means and how important it is and how wonderful it will be to know that without opening your word and how they can use it in their daily lives. Help us, dear Father, to stay in Jesus and to always grow up in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.